Raw dog it. Why are we doing that? I don't
Because all the PNP gays keep telling me that I need 75 loads or I'm worthless.
Do you think that was a PNP case?
Probably. One of those 75 people had to be on meth.
Yeah. There are 75 of them. One was bound to. Anyways, hi! Welcome to Gay Screaming. We're your hosts, Charlie and Jared. And you're you, listening to us in the year 2022. Anyways, we already did this once.
Yeah, we did an intro. We have a microphone. It was not going too well, so we're just recording with my Max mic. And if it gets loud, let me tell you, you ungrateful piece of shit. No, I'm kidding.
But you know what? You can't say that we didn't try.
Eat your fucking food.
I already ate my food. But I don't even mean that, and he's right. You should eat your fucking food.
You really
food.
Thought you ate?
Yeah.
Give me that fucking plate.
Where did I spend that money then? Once again, you guys don't know this, but I've said this a few times already. We're spiraling! Anyways, I'm gonna quickly redo this. How are you?
I'm bad. How are you?
Also bad.
It's true. It's true.
And that coincides with our topic today. We're going a little bit classic today. Throwing it back to the one topic. But that coincides with our topic today, which is mental health.
Amelia Earhart.
What does she have to do with
this? She's our topic for today.
Yeah. So my favorite thing about Amelia Earhart, no.
Honestly, the way she just disappeared, I envy her.
Do you think, okay, because there's that whole conspiracy that she didn't really disappear, but do you think she, like, lived, or do you think she really
I think she probably crashed her plane in the ocean and died.
I think so, too.
But it'd be iconic if she did live.
Swimming with the fishes, you know?
Right.
She could be a mermaid now. Like, she evolved.
She lived, she served cunt, and then she died.
Yeah. Now she's a fish.
She was WAP before WAP existed.
You know who was WAP before WAP existed? Me!
Oh.
You disagree?
I think you were DAP.
What?
I think you were a little DAP before DAP existed.
Yeah, okay. That's fair. I won't say it's not fair. But I'd like to think that I'm WAP before WAP existed. Anyways, mental health.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Not BetterHelp. They're going to sell your information.
Yeah, they're going to fucking...
Watch them offer to sponsor us after this?
Never. Are you kidding? They're going to talk shit on them.
They're going to be like, yeah, we do sell your information. You want to help us? We'll give you $500.
$500?
I wonder how much people get for their ads.
They have to get way more.
Yeah. 500, more than 500?
Do you know how much YouTubers make off sponsored content?
No.
A lot.
How much?
Like, a few thousand.
Oh, damn. Well.
The video is going to get X number of views, so the company's got to pay you a pretty penny.
I'm just saying, not that I want BetterHelp to sponsor us, but can we get a Blue Apron or a HelloFresh?
I've never used either of those services and I have no intention to.
Damn.
HelloFresh, are you kidding me? Like, I don't even cook when I have everything in front of me. So HelloFresh is useless to me.
I'm just too lazy to go out to the grocery stores, so that would make it a lot easier.
This is Charlie desperately begging for a HelloFresh sponsorship.
Very much so. And if you're listening, which I know you are, you're going to make the smart business decision of collaborating with us to incorporate your item into our art form.
Art?
One could say that podcasting is a form of art.
Our podcast?
I mean, look at artistic podcasts such as the famed Joe Rogan Experience.
No, okay. I feel like our podcast is a form of fart.
Our podcast is a social experiment.
It really is.
Yeah.
It's just us being loud and gay.
Yeah. Yeah! Anyways.
Look how loud that was.
Mental health.
So,
let's talk about
it. Ask me again how I'm doing so I can repeat the first time around.
Jared's bad.
No. The when we did the first take, I said something different.
How are you?
Not well, bitch. Okay, there we go. I forget my reasoning. What I was explaining. Oh, I'm unemployed.
Yeah.
I've had multiple job interviews fall through. I just got back from the most depressing city in the world.
Seattle.
Yes. It's rainy and cold all the time. And I'm just, like, not feeling it, you know? You know?
Would you say that 2022 is not giving?
It's not giving. I'm trying to get back in shape. That was my New Year's resolution, and I don't know. Do I have abs yet? Ugh.
They're getting there.
That physically hurt. Ouch. So yeah, very much chopped liver, as Charlie would say.
Oh, thank you for using my terms, mm-hmm. you know? I would also say, you know, very not well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay, you know?
Is it?
Well, no, but I would just, I said this in our previously scrapped, recorded podcast, that every time I say a year is going to be my year, it ends up being the exact opposite. Because the first time I said that was 2020, and we all know how that turned out. And obviously, I wasn't the first person to be like, 2020 is my year, and then coronavirus hit them. Like, that kind of happened to pretty much everyone. But now that it's happening again in 2022, I don't know. Kind of feels like the gods are out to get me. But yeah, let's talk about the mental tolls that has on us.
So I'm like the biggest advocate for like everyone having a therapist, mm-hmm. because my problem with a lot of relationships, not like dating, but like all kinds of relationships, like family, friends, whatever, is that no one knows how to communicate. And everyone has their own issues, and nobody has anybody they're talking to about them. So they just dump it out on other people and take it out on people. And then everything goes bad because they're, like, being bad and toxic and whatever the fuck. So everyone should get a therapist. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
I don't have anything. Why am I still talking into the old
mic? I don't know. You've formed a deep, like, personal attachment to that microphone.
Trauma bonding.
Yeah.
I don't have really anything else to add other than, yeah, please go get a therapist. Mm. Mainly talking to myself
here. I was going to say, Charlie does not yet have a therapist.
The woman was too stunned to speak. I mean, going to therapy, obviously, for others, is a difficult task to get up to that moment on their own, you know? Mm-hmm. So obviously, for the ones who are going, I'm proud of you, because it's definitely harder for me to get there,
mm.
you know? Because not to, like, okay, I'm going to get into it without, like, getting too into it.
Okay, get into it, yeah.
Yeah, but just, like, the thought of just having to sit there and just, like, talk to someone, and then they're, like, making notes about it mm. and stuff like that. Just, like, the whole process of, like, exposing the entirety of yourself.
Ha, ha, ha. Go on. I'm not going to interrupt yet.
No, go ahead.
See, that was the least daunting part about it for me, because I already do that to myself on a daily basis. I expose myself. I talk incessantly about things that I probably shouldn't dump on people. I don't shut up. So having a professional who I do shut up. But I'm saying about my personal issues and my traumas. Like, I bring up half the dark shit from my past, like, every day. So, like, bringing it up to a new person isn't a big deal to me. But that's because I always want to get it off my chest. So having a professional to do that, like, too, and listen to you and help you figure out coping strategies and, like, healthier ways to do things and potentially give you medication if you need it is a really nice resource to have.
It's true.
I say this as I'm in the process of looking for a new therapist, because my old one was not supposed to be long term.
Oh, shit. I mean, like, what I will say, though, is, like, don't just think you can go your whole life without it, because of Definitely with the way most of us grew up.
I mean, generational trauma. Look how our families turned out. My mom, well, not just my mom, my whole family is very against. It's like a traditional, like, Black American kind of thing, mentality to be like, oh, doctors are bad, they're out to get you. Because obviously, there's historical basis for that. Like, doctors were actually out to get us and, like, didn't have our best interest at heart. And a lot of doctors still don't. Like, Black people don't get taken seriously when they say they're in pain and stuff like that. So I can understand the apprehension there with my family, but it doesn't change the fact that they have so many unresolved issues and emotional problems and, like, potential diagnoses they've never had that they're putting out on me and my sister. And it's like, we're having to be the ones to undo all that generational shit because we're actually, like, being proactive about our mental health.
Yeah. I mean, like, even growing up, like, I remember one time I went to a therapist when I was, like, 15, right? Mm-hmm. Because my dad was like, oh, you need to talk to a therapist. And I was just like, okay, well, get ready for it. Mm-hmm. And so, like, my dad was waiting out in, like, the waiting room or whatever while the therapist was talking to me. Mm-hmm. And then the therapist was like, you know what? Why don't we bring your dad in here and talk to him about this? And she confronted him with, like, everything I had said.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, well, I don't know, and da da da. And by the time we left, he was like, who does she think she is? She doesn't know anything. And
suddenly therapy isn't, like, valid or exactly. There's no credentials there. It's like, as soon as it disagrees with him and his opinions, then it's like, oh, therapy's bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, similar bullshit. I get the stigma, but I don't, you know?
Yeah.
But I also think some people want to use it in their own ways to, like, get, like, okay. I don't know what to call this, because I don't know if this is, like, a thing that's, like, a phenomenon or, like, what it would be called. But, like, when people go into therapy thinking they're just going to hear everything they want to hear.
Oh, yeah.
And then they get told the truth, and then they're like, oh, I don't like this. And then they never go back. That's also another thing. Because, okay, half the problem with mental health is accepting that you have issues and that you're not a perfect person either. The goal of therapy isn't just to be like, oh, the world is against me. It's also to be like, I need to improve myself in some ways. If in the case, like, your dad goes into it and then gets told, hey, you're not being a great father, and then they're just like, what does she know? It's like, you're completely discrediting the fact that someone with an outside perspective is telling you, hey, this is what you need to change.
I mean, I feel like a lot of it also is, like, a lot of people need to be willing to humble themselves.
Yeah.
But a lot of people also don't have that character trait.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So they're just going to go on with giant egos and big heads.
Mm-hmm.
And performing bad behaviors.
Right.
Which is another thing about therapy is unlearning all of your own
bad behaviors. Yeah, that's literally so much negative. Like, so I have a lot of negative self-talk where I just, like, internalize a lot of things and then feel bad about myself and then have, like, these ideas about myself in my head. And then when I, like, talked to my therapist about them for the first time, he was just like, oh, you know, that's not how you actually are, though, right? And I was like, no, it is. And then he's like, you gotta rethink how you look at yourself a little bit. And I was just like, mind blown, because, like, I'm so used to saying, like,
the worst things about yourself.
Well, yeah, because I genuinely thought that stuff. Yeah. And it's like, that's how I spent pretty much my entire life since puberty, thinking. So it was, like, an outside perspective on that kind of thing, and realizing how, like, in my head I was really beneficial.
Now, can I ask, was your therapist gay or straight?
He's straight.
So did that make things, like, difficult for him to understand in some ways?
No, he's actually a really good, like, empathetic listener.
He's an empath?
Yeah, he's an empath. Wait, me telling my therapist I'm suicidal. Sorry, trigger warning, suicide. And then him sensing that I want to kill myself.
I'm an empath.
No, but he's, like, a really good not to be very boring with it, but yeah, he's a really good therapist, so it didn't really affect anything.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Just because I know in some cases, like, especially, like, if you're, like, in a rural kind of town, and you have a straight therapist who doesn't really
I was going to say, if I lived in fucking Texas, I wouldn't be going for... Okay, another thing, not to bring identity politics into this, because in some cases they're not important, in other cases they are, but anyway.
One of the unimportant cases is presidency.
Literally.
Don't get me started.
But...
We'll get into that another day.
Yeah. But yeah, I wouldn't go for a straight white male therapist in Texas, but here I felt a little more open to it.
Well, I guess that's also why a lot of... Some people are a little more psyched out of finding a therapist because they want to find
a therapist. It's also a process, yeah. Yeah. Like, you have to look for... Some like, for example, women only want therapists who are other women and things like that. Or someone who would understand your specific cultural stuff or whatever it is, you know.
I mean, even when I was trying to do the therapy, like, a year ago, like, my therapist was, like, a nice lady and everything, but I just feel like I wasn't really vibing with her,
yeah,
you know? And, like, especially because a lot of the times it felt like she was just divorce courting me.
But I love that.
I would say something and she would just repeat it back to me in a question.
Never mind.
You know? So I was just like, oh, okay. And then, like, I missed one appointment and I just never went back.
Did she call you sometimes?
No, she never called
back. She's like, I miss you. Come back, please.
We had, like, 3 sessions.
Oh, wow. You really went in.
Yeah.
It's like extreme therapy.
Yeah.
The Olympics.
I know. As the most therapy I've ever done in one go. But, like, obviously, I'm going to need to go back eventually. But, like, okay. Not even just talking about therapy for a second. Can we talk about coping mechanisms? Because I feel like a lot of the times, because I'm not in therapy, I'll resort to coping mechanisms.
Like bad ones?
That
means yes, yes.
Sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I feel like one of them can be eating. You know? And I mean, like, I put on a few pounds since the beginning of Miss Rona. Sure.
Who hasn't?
But exactly, we all have. But I also feel like I've also just had a lot more time, especially, like, during the beginning of, like, lockdown and stuff, to just kind of, like, eat my feelings away, you know? And I don't know that ever really went away. Because anytime I'm, like, feeling sort of, not even necessarily, like, sad, but just, like, either some emotion that isn't, like, jubilant, you know, I'm always just like, well, I could have a bag of chips. Or I could order this really junky junk food that I know is horrible, but it'll make me feel good, and yet I still feel horrible afterwards, you know?
Also, I just want to make a quick note to those, like, health gurus and bitches who eat, like, 5 heads of broccoli a day and then shove a piece of kale up their ass and then say that they feel so great and their mental health is so much better because they eat vegetables. Shut up! I used to eat healthy. I still was depressed.
Yeah. But then they're
gonna saying that junk food is the answer, but I'm just saying, like, I hate when people try to grandstand and be like, well, I eat so healthy and I exercise all the time, so I feel amazing. And I'm like, that's you. That's you, not me.
That's their whole thing, though, because they're going to be like, I eat healthy and I work out and I also take steroids.
I only do poppers 5 times a day.
No! I mean, like, it's probably not one of, like, the better coping mechanisms that I've acquired, you know? But also recently, I would say, like, say, for example, a good coping mechanism that I've started doing is I've started journaling.
Oh, yeah. I'm big on writing. I think...
Yeah.
And I've talked to my therapist about that. Any sort of, like, expressing your feelings, whether it's, like, through art or through writing them down or, like, a message or anything, That's probably the healthiest coping mechanism that I know how to do.
Yeah. And see, like, the thing is, I'm not even talking about myself. I'm just writing my thoughts about movies.
Oh, that
in
too,
my
yeah.
journal.
Yeah.
Just being like, here's why I hated this piece of shit film. Or
this is Charlie coming out as an art critic.
Yeah.
And a film critic. And a critic.
I am a hater.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Do you work for Rotten Tomatoes?
I do.
Oh, I knew
will
that.
Maybe someday. Like, if you were to ask me, hey, Charlie, what are your thoughts on Spider-Man? No Way Home.
Not... Charlie's about to take a shit on Spider-Man.
I would say, felt like fan fiction. Another Marvel movie, at best, which is typically just okay. Listen, we all have to stop lying to ourselves. A lot of these Marvel movies are not good.
I don't want to offend you or anything, but they're still better than most of the DC movies.
I'm not saying they're not. But you guys have to stop gassing them up like they're the most...
One thing I do want to say...
My nipple!
about the Marvel movies. I see everybody hating the ones with women.
Yeah.
What the fuck is with that? Not... Black Widow was horrible.
Misogyny.
Right. But Black Widow was horrible, don't get me wrong. But...
Jared was like, he can hate on all the women. Yeah. But Scarlett Johansson, you're allowed.
But I'm saying... Captain Marvel, I really enjoyed. Reviews, critics, hated it. What's the fucking one? Oh my god, there was another one.
Wendy Wu Homecoming Warrior.
Shut up! But I loved it. No, there was another one I saw. Oh my god. Oh no, this isn't even a Marvel movie. I think critics just hate women. I saw the 355.
Oh, uh-huh.
And I actually really liked
it. With Jessica Chastain.
Yeah. I mean, it's all female main cast.
Yeah.
And it was really good. Like, the writing, some plot holes, but you can expect that. But as in terms of, like, a general, like, enjoyable action movie, it was good.
Okay, but remember when, like, the Ghostbusters movie came out with Kristen Wiig and mm-hmm. Melissa? The critics
ate that
hated
shit
it.
Mm-hmm.
They hated it.
Tore it to shreds.
And then the newer the newer Ghostbusters movie came out pretty recently, and it scored just about the same as the 2016 version with all the women on Rotten Tomatoes. So it's just like, where's the uproar about that?
Yeah.
Also, who's watching Ghostbusters movies?
I don't know. I don't understand it.
Can y'all, like,
I'm like, just make the Luigi's Mansion movie. I'll watch that.
Yeah, like... We gotta start doing new stuff, y'all. Like, I cannot do Ghostbusters 6, 7, and 8, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And Fast and the Furious has gotta end.
Fast and the Furious is the thing that won't die.
No.
It's fucking Lazarus.
Well, apparently 10 is supposed to be the last one, and, like...
I hope so. They said the fucking one where Paul Walker was literally dead. That was supposed to be the last one.
Yeah.
And they were just like, actually, do I want to defile this man's grave for some money?
Dua Lipa.
Yeah.
He's probably gonna be in the 10th one. Anyways, we got tangented.
Yeah, writing, expressing things, very good coping mechanism. Can we segue to a really bad coping mechanism that I have, that I've talked very extensively with my therapist about?
Yes.
So sex. Let's get to that.
I just did that on Saturday and it did not end up well.
Here's the thing. It's this is another flaw of mine, and I feel like a lot of people have this flaw. I've gotten to the point where I can acknowledge most of my issues and I understand a lot of them, but it doesn't change the fact that I still participate in those same bad behaviors.
Yes.
Because I'm like, but does it make me feel good in the moment?
Yes.
And so I keep doing it. But I very much, from the time I was like fucking 18, also trigger warning, maybe sex stuff, it could be a little sexual assaulty, but I very much put myself in some very bad situations because I wanted the validation from sex and from guys telling me that I'm attractive, wanting to be with me, whatever it is. And yeah, when I went to therapy and I was like talking about that, it was like connected directly to the negative self-talk and like how I look at myself literally as like a disgusting monster piece of shit. And then the sex makes me feel like I'm not that.
Like you're desired.
Exactly. I'm desirable. I'm sexy, whatever. And it's like being someone else for a little while and then feeling a certain way. But it's not a good coping mechanism, especially because, like, it became an addiction for a while for me. And I'm still in the gray area of whether it still is or not, because I feel like I've acknowledged and worked on some of my, like, really, really bad habits. But at the same time, it's still not great to be, like, seeking that out for validation.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's, like, my version of food. Because, like, food doesn't do it for me, but, like, sex for sure does.
I also think, though, it's ultimately why I've stopped hooking up with guys so much. Because I realized I was trying to get something out of it that they could never provide to me, you know? And they were only in it for their own reasons, which obviously I'm not going to knock them for.
Right.
But it wasn't any of the reasons I was in it for, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know? So ultimately, I chose myself over their 5 minutes of pleasure. Because there have been moments where they're only 5 minutes, gentlemen. You know who you are.
I'm not saying that I'm any sort of role model here, but I will take those 5 minutes of pleasure. No! It's sad. It's sad. Like, the bar... Okay. When I say I've improved, I mean, like, the bar is slightly higher than it used to be, because it's very much, like, when I was, like, 18 years old and fresh into the whole dating scene, you know, gay world, I was literally throwing it back for anybody who was showing me any sort of attention.
Yeah.
And that also meant that guys who were, like, low-key, like, abusive or coercive or any sort of, like, red line boundary that shouldn't have been crossed was getting crossed, I didn't mind because, well, I did mind, obviously, but it was like I was allowing it in the moment because I still got that validation from it. And now I don't do that anymore, luckily, but I still am out here fucking... I was gonna make a prostitution joke! We watched Phone Swap earlier, and this guy was...
He lied about being 19, first of all.
Oh, not him. That's talking about Dennis.
Oh.
Well. I was gonna say, this guy had, like, 500 nudes in his phone, and he was, like, having sex all the time, and I was like, that's me.
Yeah. I mean, close enough.
It's true. It's true.
But I also think it's pretty common. Pretty common for gay men.
Oh, yeah.
Especially.
Gay men either lean into, like, hypersexuality or they are sex repulsed. Yeah. Those are the two. Like, there's no real in-between.
Because a lot of it is the... because gay men, most of the time, grew up feeling undesirable. Yeah. That's
where... We slightly talked about this in the Tumblr episode, too, but that's where I was already, like, setting myself up for that. Because I was, like, getting sexual validation at, like, 15, 16 from guys on the internet. Back,
like, some of you were, like, in your 20s.
Oh, yeah. You shouldn't have been having any sort of interaction with me. But, like, it was a bad environment for me to be learning how to navigate the world in. Because it was basically teaching me that, like, my body and, like, my sexual characteristics are more desirable than my personality.
Because
I was, like, posting writing and stuff on Tumblr. Nobody gave a fuck. But if I post a shirtless picture at my fucking teenage ass, everyone liked it.
Well, I will say, though, the thing about Tumblr is, though, looking back, Tumblr was very... It was a lot of people trauma bonding with each other. Oh, yeah.
How nice.
Well, because, like, we had no other outlet.
Yeah.
You know? And for the most part, that's where... to plainly put it, that's where outcasts ended up going, and most of the time they could guarantee that nobody in their real life
would see.
So that was their not only their but our opportunity to get our voice out there and speak on how we feel. And I feel of two minds of this, because I feel yes, it's good to get your feelings out there. Mm-hmm. And you say even bounce them off of people who are going through the same things to know that you're not alone. But I also feel it opened up a kind of not like a wormhole, but Pandora's box you yeah, know?
For other things to happen.
Because it opened up a lot of teenagers thinking they're fully equipped to deal with suicidal people.
Oh, and, yeah. Oh, my God. And, that's another thing. You dealt with a lot of dark shit on Tumblr.
Yeah, and just, like, a lot of people's egos got inflated that way. And just, yeah. I feel like a lot of people learn bad behaviors from that sort of thing. And it was also just like, why are you trauma dumping on me? You're like in Alaska and I've known you for a total of 5 minutes. Literally,
I have no idea who you are. We just follow each other on this random website.
So there is the pluses, but there was also the definite minuses. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that applies to all social media, though. I think Tumblr was just our...
The beginning.
Yeah. Well, not necessarily the beginning. I think it was just ours. Yeah. Like, the one we were used to, because that's the one we grew up with. But, like, people are doing it on Twitter now. People are doing it on TikTok now. Maybe not, like, the trauma dumping too much, but, yeah, it still happens.
Maybe people are doing it on TikTok more so through comedy.
Yeah, comedy I could see. I like that better, though.
You know, because sometimes I'll see a TikTok
that's being, like really specific. And I'm just like, oh my God.
But, like, you know, like, sometimes I'll see a TikTok and be like, oh, this is the outfit I wore to get ready with all my friends to go out that night, but then they all died that night. And it's just like, what? Hello? Did you talk to someone about that?
Yeah, I've seen a few ones that are talking about stuff like that where it just gets really dark out of nowhere, and I'm just like, oh, this is on my For You page because they really want me to know that I've been just fucking depressing.
For a reason.
But yeah, I think that that's just the nature of social media because you can connect with people so easily. It could be a good or a bad thing depending on how it's used. And same thing with TikTok with the sexuality stuff. Like, there's a lot of really young teenagers that I'm seeing on TikTok being really sexual, and there was that guy on TikTok who was, like, showing his penis that one time I feel like I talked about it on the podcast.
I think so.
But, yeah, like, there was literal teenagers in the comments being like, I'm 16, what the fuck is this? And he's just like, I don't care, why are you on TikTok? And it's like, bro, this is very, you're putting the shit on the internet, and, like, a lot of kids use TikTok, so it's just very, like, the same hypersexuality that I was being exposed to as a young gay on Tumblr is happening to other young gays on TikTok.
History repeats itself. I mean, I will say the one of the added benefits, though, of, like, things like maybe, like, Tumblr and TikTok, though, is that the vocabulary gets out there, at least.
Like what?
Like, people start learning about things like gaslighting and...
Oh, yeah.
Or even though it's how to kind set of
sometimes
boundaries.
It's used as, like...
yeah, it can be misconstrued. Like a buzzword.
Yeah, misconstrued. It can be complicated. But, like, the terminology is there, and it allows people... It opens doors for people to learn more about stuff they might not know about.
Yeah, so, like, that's definitely, like, good. Especially if you do, like, the proper, like, research into it, you know? So it could start... It starts getting your mind going, okay, these are the good ways of talking about these things. These are who I can go to talk about these things. You know, it starts opening up that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, social media is usually a hellhole that makes your mental health worse.
Yeah, it's not a good place to be. and, like, I know you're not supposed to compare yourself to other people.
But
like,
you still social do it
media,
anyways.
Yeah, social media is the number one place to do that because, like, I see so many other people, like, being successful writers on fucking social media or, like, being sexy on social media and getting, like, a lot more followers or whatever it is. And it's just, like, it's hard not to compare yourself to that and then feel inferior because you're like, well, I write and no one cares. Yeah. I look like this and no one thinks I'm attractive, you know, whatever it is. So having to, like, navigate that is difficult.
I mean, what was it? Fuck. I lost my train of thought. Never mind. I take that back.
Take it all back.
Yeah.
I don't know who sang that song, but I'm sure it's a white people band.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
It's like probably Nickelback. Like, you know.
Maroon 5.
Retail friendly.
Yeah, retail friendly. Oh my God. We had, when I worked at Cotton On in the mall, we had one song. I don't even remember what it was. Was it the Chainsmokers? It probably was.
Was it the...
No, it was another one of their songs.
Which one?
Is it Something Just Like This? Is that the Chainsmokers?
I want something just like this.
What year did that come out? Sorry, I'm going to do some quick research, even though this literally isn't important to our topic today.
Neither was the movies.
True. What year did this come out? Hmm. 2017.
You're already out of there now.
Yeah, I was working there 2016, and I was already done by January.
Maybe it came out at the tail end of 2016?
No, it says release February 22nd. Maybe it was the Halsey song with them. I don't know. The point is, there was a fucking Chainsmokers song or some sort of, like, upbeat song like that that would play every single fucking day at work. And I worked part-time, so I was, like, not even exposed to it as much as I probably, like, some of my coworkers probably were. But I was so fucking tired of that song that when it would come on, I would be, like, my mood would just drop. Like, I would already be in a bad mood because, like, I worked at Cotton On and, like, customers were, like, yelling at me over from some fucking pants. Like, whatever. But
those khakis aren't going anywhere, Susan. Don't worry.
My manager at that job also hated me. I don't know why. Her name was Anne. Or Annie or something.
Where's she now?
Probably still working there.
I'll key her car.
Charlie chose violence. It wasn't that deep, but she was just always really mean to me and very snooty, and I was just like, okay, like, you work at a random clothing store in the mall, like,
calm down. Relax.
Like, I'm a freshman in college, like, you can be nice to me for 5 minutes.
Literally.
But, yeah, I fucking hated that song.
It definitely played at three jobs of mine straight, played at Buffalo Wild Wings. Played at my time at, oh wait, it came closer, yeah. Played at Buffalo Wild Wings, it played at JCPenney, and it also played a lot at Yogurtland. So I became very, very familiar to that song to the point where I started thinking,
oh, this song's not that bad.
Now you developing Stockholm syndrome with the song.
Yeah. That's like the Beauty and the Beast thing, right?
I think. I don't know. It's when you're, like, falling in love with your kidnapper.
Yeah, this is a Beauty and the Beast thing.
Retail? Okay, let me just... This could be a segue back to mental health. These bitches are essential workers, and the shit that this pandemic is putting them through on top of customer service already being the worst fucking thing on earth because people are so horrible for no fucking reason, and you're getting paid, like, nothing... This is fucked up. Like, there needs to be some change because it's not worth it. Like, people are so anal about, like, oh my god, nobody wants to work anymore. I wouldn't want to work in a pandemic for no money.
Yeah. I mean, like, to begin with, even before the pandemic, if you had even tried to request a day off for mental health reasons, you weren't getting that.
Yeah.
You know?
If you tried to take it anyway, you'd get fired.
If you were to go up to your boss in 2016 and be like, hey... I need to take a mental health day. They'd be like, huh, what's that? You know, like, it's just not a thing. These places don't take your mental health into consideration, even though they're right. Like, working you to the bone.
Right, and are half the reason you're as stressed as you are.
Yeah, and robbing you of your time,
right?
I might add. Because a lot of the time, you end up spending most of your time at those jobs. They'll be like, we're going to have you work 7 hours and 59 minutes, but we need you to clock out right before the 8th hour.
So that you can't get fucking benefits.
Exactly. That's the kind of shit they pull. And it fucks with your head.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I agree with that. Who the fuck is Snapchatting me? Oh? We got a response.
Oh, it's boy.
So... This is another random segue. I'm just talking. We're just rambling. This is Tangent the Podcast, Rambling Edition, Part 5, 2022.
We're just easing back into it, you know?
Yeah. But I specifically, this was one time where, like, well, he wasn't really my manager. At Del Taco, we had, like, shift leads, which were basically, like, supervisors, and then we had, like, our store manager, who was... Interesting. She ended up getting fired after I quit. Which, yeah.
Good, right?
We all expected that. Another side note. One time I tried to call out because I was going to work 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Mm-hmm. And I woke up in the morning and I literally, like, projectile vomited. And
oh,
I
my was, God.
Like, I was like, okay, I think I have, like, some kind of stomach bug or something, but I literally can't come in. Because it's, like, in the Del Taco rules that, like, if you have any sort of, like, stomach illness.
They didn't care.
They didn't care. if you have any sort of stomach illness, you're not allowed to go into work. Like, even if you, like, feel relatively okay, if you are, like, a little bit nauseous, you should not come into work. Because you could get a bunch of people sick.
Yeah. Ebola.
Ebola.
Or E. coli, that's the
It's food. E. coli, yeah. But I, like, called my manager, and I was like, hey, I just threw up, and I feel really bad, and my shift isn't for, like, because it was, like, 5 in the morning when I woke up and started throwing up. So I was like, my shift isn't for, like, 2 hours, so if you can, like, call some people and see if someone can cover my shift, that'd be really great.
And that's what they ask of you to do anyways. If you're going to call out, like, 2 hours
ahead of time. Yeah, I didn't call out, like, late. I didn't no-show. I, like, let them know what was up. And she really sat here and was like, oh, well, are you sure you still can't come in? I was like, I literally vomited. And she was like, well, I mean, just make sure you're, like, taking care of yourself while you're here, but no. Just make sure, like, you could still show up for your shift. No. And I was like, no, this is me calling out. I'm not coming in. And she was just like, okay, well, I'll see if anybody can cover it. But if no one can, I'm just going to call you back and ask you to come. And I was like, well, I'm still not coming.
And did she?
No, she never called me back because one of my coworkers ended up picking up my shift. But it was just like the fact that she was trying to like guilt me into coming anyways was ridiculous.
It's just like, and that's no matter what, that's what they're going to do.
Yeah, because they only care about profit. They don't care about you.
Because at the end of the day, we are just pawns in their little game.
Pawn stars.
Yeah.
Okay, so the original story I was going to tell. Del Taco was the worst fucking plot job. Of the movie. Yeah, the original plot of the movie. Mind you, Del Taco was the worst fucking job. Don't sue me, Del Taco, but the 6 months that I worked for your company were the worst 6 months of my life. Well, second worst, because I also almost died after that.
Did you have to sign, like, a contract with them that was, like, for the next 5 years, you can't talk about our trade secrets?
Oh, no, there was no NDAs that I knew of. Or maybe I just didn't read the fine print.
I had to sign one of those for Yogurtland.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. But yeah, like, Del Taco was a mess. And part of it, I'm not going to say the whole company's horrible because I'm sure some locations are okay, but a good majority of it was just my manager. She was a bad manager and the store was constantly crowded and horrible. I hated it. But there was one time where my usual shift was 7 p.m. to 3 a.m., which was like the shift right before graveyard shift overnight. So I would like get out from class, I would walk to Del Taco, I would work from 7 to 3 a.m., and then I would walk back home. Not a good idea. Let me tell you, that schedule was not good for my mental health. I failed all my classes that semester.
Because you were also up all night.
Up all night. And then I also was extremely depressed. So, there's that. But two, one time I was at work, and my shift lead, his name's George, he's really nice. We were, like, semi-close, we were friendly. I was, like, cleaning the front of house before we were going to close the front at midnight because it was, like, drive-through only from midnight to 3 a.m.
Yeah.
And I was, like, cleaning the front, mopping it, whatever. And then I started having, like, a panic attack. Like, I couldn't breathe, and then I was, like, getting really sweaty, and my hands were numb, and then my feet were numb, and then I was, like, my heart was fucking pounding, and I was, like, okay. My sister has anxiety. I've helped her through multiple panic attacks. This is, like, very panic attack feeling.
Yeah.
So I, like, went up to George, and I'm, like, hey, I know I still have 3 hours left of my shift, but I literally can't breathe right now, and I think I need to go home. And he was, like, really understanding, and he was like, yeah, don't even worry about it. Like, I got you covered. Like, I can handle the store by myself.
And so it was just him after that?
It was just him and then whoever came in, because my other coworker, I forget his name, but he was really hot. He would come in, and then he would work, I think, like, 1 a.m. until 8 a.m. Mm-hmm. So he would work like the actual graveyard with me. So George was gonna clock out soon anyway, but he was like, oh, I got it covered until he comes in. And then he was like really helpful in like making sure that I was okay. But it was like, that was the one time anyone ever cared about my mental health at a job.
I mean, I will say, not that obviously I haven't seen this to be the case, and not in like a bad way or anything, but like not that like my current job is like a mental health, you know, safe space, but I definitely feel a lot better working where I am now
than the hotel I have been.
Yeah, because I do feel like where you work does play an important toll on your mental health, and I feel like the leadership jobs play a big key into that, or a big role in that, you know?
I mean, pretty much everyone I know who hates their job says it's because of the management.
Exactly. So, at the hotel job, for example, towards the end of my time there, I was sitting in the manager's meeting. Mm-hmm. I was voicing my opinions along with them.
Right.
But I just felt like I wasn't really being heard, you know, especially if I were to voice my concerns to them. And all of them were just like, you're fine. Mm-hmm. You got it. And I was like, no, I'm not fine. I need help here. And no one was just listening to me. And the pressure did eventually start making me crack. And that was my deep, dark summer that I don't really like talking about. But it was really rough just because I felt like, obviously, I knew I had people like Jared and everything, but because I was spending most of my time there...
It's a huge drain.
Yeah, I felt like I was being gaslit into thinking everything is fine and that maybe I do have this all handled, but it was just like, no, the working conditions that I was having to work under, insanity. The way they were handling things, insanity. And I couldn't be more glad that I'm out of there because, like, now I do work at a place where they're like, not that I needed a pat on the back of people being like, hey, Charlie, good job, but it's just like people acknowledge that I'm putting in work and that I also have emotions and needs that need to be met, and they'll be happy to accommodate to meet them, you know? So, yeah,
that's like bare minimum I would expect, yeah. But like, most jobs in this country don't even fucking give that,
yeah, which is. Especially right now, it's just, like, it's no wonder why, like, nobody wants to work. There's a reason why the Great Resignation is happening. It's because you're all shitty people. I hate to break it to
you. It's true!
Like, I'm not gonna lie. Like, it's just more and more, not that I'm necessarily losing my faith in humanity, but, like, we...
I am. I already lost it.
We as a species are just awful, awful people.
Yeah. You know? I'm not going to get into it in this episode, but, like, crypto and NFT...
Don't even get again, me started.
Just another, like, thing to check off the list of, like, yeah, people care more about money than anything.
Listen, when we bring back the segments next week, I'll do, like, a Charlie rant segment where I just rant about NFTs. Because what the fuck is that shit?
It's ridiculous. I've been seeing a lot of people blindly defending NFTs just because they're like, people should be able to do whatever they want. And I'm like... Okay, why is this so important to people?
You know, have you ever seen those TikToks where this guy's, like, talking to Trump supporters, but he's actually, like, talking to them being like, hey, okay, think about this for a second.
Yeah.
And then the Trump supporter ends up, like, tripping up over themselves and being like, oh, I guess you were right. I feel like if someone were to do that with the crypto bros, it'd be the same thing.
Yeah, because, I mean, like... Before I even understood, like, the environmental impact and how much energy it takes to mine shit like that, and, like, I'm not gonna act like I know all the terminology, but, like, blockchains or whatever the fuck, NFT bullshit, I still was just like, what the fuck is this? Like, this is stupid. And then now that I know that it's literally damaging and, like, draining power and, like, raising electricity prices in places like New York, it's like... Why is this allowed to continue?
I mean, I know we're not getting into it, but two
things. Like, fraudulent.
Two things also on that front. NFTs and crypto especially, or mainly NFTs though, I think, are the main reason why. So Final Fantasy 14, the MMORPG, came out with like a huge expansion recently, but their servers were so overwhelmed that because they didn't have like all the server chips, I don't know the terminology or whatever, but basically crypto bros are hoarding like all the
computer parts,
the computer parts, and
because they need the computer parts so that they can mine crypto.
Exactly. So nobody else can get a hold of them, so there's already like, it's stalling like some people's gaming time, obviously, which is like a minuscule problem. But on the flip side of things, I was reading something, obviously I don't know how accurate it is because I don't remember what the details specifically are, but it was saying that crypto has basically undone all of the good progress we were making for the environment.
I can believe that.
Just because of how bad it is.
And it's getting, like, more and more popular, so it's just gonna keep getting worse.
Which is just, like, that's the other thing, if we're talking mental health, if we can talk about it real quick. It's hard to be like, everything's gonna be okay when seemingly
we're
watching the planet die slowly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and eventually, even possibly in our lifetime, it may be the end of things.
Right.
You know, so it's just kind of hard to be like, ha ha, ha ha, it's okay. You know? Mm-hmm. So there is that deep, dark thought. In the back of my mind sometimes.
No, I always think about stuff like that because it just, it's really hard to ignore. And, like, my main, like, way to get through things is escapism. That's why I've always been into super into video games. Same. Because it's, like, I can literally take myself out of this world and be somewhere else.
Yeah.
And, like, that's much easier to deal with than the reality of the current world we're living in where the government's corrupt, the police aren't here to help us. The fucking state of the environment is deteriorating. Corporations and businesses control more of the world than actual, like, politicians do.
Pokemon hasn't put out a good game in years.
It's just that we're in the bad place.
Yeah. We did this for ourselves. Not us, too specifically.
But, yeah, but humankind, it's just humankind, yeah. And I think that's another reason why everyone needs therapy, because whether or not you have personal issues you've been through, whether or not you're going through something right now, you're still living in this world, and you're going to have to face the consequences of, like, the world deteriorating around us. So it's going to be a hard mental thing to go through.
Yeah. Listen,
Charlie's dog is looking at us like, what the fuck is wrong with you guys?
We've been broken on the inside now.
It's true. It's true.
Obviously, this isn't, like, easy stuff for us to talk about, and we didn't get into, like, too specific, you know? But just, like, take a little time to love yourselves, you know? Because obviously, things are scary, and things are whatever the word is, but, like, it's okay to be afraid, I think, right now. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to feel depressed and doom and gloom, you know? But just still, like, because obviously those feelings are natural. But what I'm getting at is, even so, like, just take the little moments to be, like, to enjoy things, to love yourself, especially. Because I always find it's the little things that, like, make me the happiest.
Oh, for sure.
You know? Like, oh, I bought myself a new Febreze plug-in. Mm-hmm. I love the smell of it. My room smells so good now. I'm happy. You know, like, it's the really, really small things. So just keep that in mind, I guess.
Yeah.
Anyways, as we wrap this up, any last words?
I recommend getting a pet. I think pets, if you don't already have one, definitely help.
I want a goldfish.
You want a goldfish? Why?
Yeah. Because it'll die in, like, 3 weeks, and then I can be like, okay, bye.
This is a hot take there.
It's like a visitor.
You're, like, specifically looking for pets that'll die really fast versus people who are like, oh, my God, my 15-year-old dog. No!
Well, I don't need to form an attachment with it. It's just like, okay, like, I'll house you for the rest of your, like, think of it as, like, I'm the old folks home. You know?
Your hospice care.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. I'm just helping it through its last moments in life, and I'm happy to do so.
All right, then.
I'll throw it a nice little funeral, you know, say some last words. Yeah.
I've been getting real existential because my snake is a baby, and I'm just like, wow, this thing's really going to grow up before my eyes, and it might outlive me.
It sheds its skin. I've seen it.
Yeah, that's something that snakes do.
It's like one of those things where you're like, oh, do they really do that? I mean, like, you know they do it, but then when you actually see the shedded skin,
it's crazy how, like, their instincts are so good because it just knows how to do things. Like, once it started shedding, it wasn't like, ew, what the fuck? Like, it just decided, okay, let's get rid of this skin, and then it just got it off.
She said, baby, I'm Jewish. Let's get the circumcision.
And imagine doing that with no arms or legs, just having to rub your skin off by yourself.
Is that how they do it?
They don't have arms or legs.
But, like, they just rub it off?
Yeah.
Oh.
They specifically, when you're, like, looking up guides on how to take care of your snake, they want you to have things with, like, a rough or coarse texture inside their cage so that they can rub against it. to help get their skin off.
I don't know why, but I always just thought, like, it peeled back like a banana on its own.
It kind of, that's how it looks, but it still needs, like, extra help to get it off.
Yeah.
But basically, like, the under layer of the skin, like, a fluid fills it, and then it, like, separates the old skin from the new skin, and then it can be peeled after the fluid is done.
Do you ever wash Skins? I don't know if you would like it.
I don't think I would.
Yeah.
I didn't like Degrassi.
It was very...
Drake got shot.
It was a leg up. It was Euphoria before Euphoria.
Yeah. I mean, every teenage show that's supposed to be, like, high drama is, like... That's great. I already lived through that. I don't need another one.
I would still say Degrassi was still pretty PG.
Whatever it takes!
New year, new look, new page.
I know I can make it through. Yeah. It really had Aubrey in a wheelchair.
I mean, he wasn't always in the wheelchair.
You know what show they did always have the guy in the wheelchair?
Who?
Glee.
Oh, yeah.
And the able-bodied man in a wheelchair. Glee was problematic, let me tell you that much.
Glee was a crime against humanity.
We're all minorities. All of those, we're in the Glee Club.
All of those actors deserve free therapy at the hands of Ryan Murphy.
And sponsored by BetterHelp.
Can I just say, listen, I know I want to work in Hollywood someday. And obviously, I don't think Ryan Murphy's going to listen to this, but, like, I really don't trust that man.
Yeah.
I don't trust that. And something about him gives me the ick. And it's not that just because, it's not just because he starts a show and it can start off really strong and then finish horribly.
Mm.
But there's something about that man where I look at him and think, you're evil.
That's how I feel about Lin-Manuel Miranda. I'm not kidding. That image of him biting his lip, I'm like, that's the devil.
He knows what he's doing.
And I like demons, but Lin-Manuel Miranda, that's scary.
There was a time, like, a day, I feel like, where I was like, I don't know, he's kind of cute. But now, I'm utterly despised by Lin-Manuel.
Jerking. There's a few guys in Hollywood that are not attractive that I would still let smash.
So you would let Lin-Manuel smash?
No! I'm disgusted by him and I think he's the devil.
Let him scream, "We don't talk about Bruno," into your ass?
Don't ever. Bruno, if you're free on Saturday. Encanto was really good.
Yeah!
There were some plot points where I was just like, okay, that was weird. But like overall, I thought it was nice.
I thought some of the pacing was a little off and not all the music fit, but it was a cute movie.
Right. And Bruno, come get this cookie. This rat cookie.
Russi.
Russi.
Ratussi.
I'm trying to think of a celebrity that I would let smash. That's, like, really not attractive.
Ben Affleck.
Yeah, but I think he's attractive. In, like, a 40-year-old chain smoker kind of way.
She is.
Yeah. Like, those pictures of him that the paparazzi took of him just looking upset with the world. I'm like, yeah, he would beat it up.
Listen, I don't know if you guys know what they are, but I've been, like, getting into blind items recently.
What's blind item?
They're basically, like, rumors and gossip about Hollywood
people. Oh,
yeah,
you told me about this.
But, apparently all those pictures of him with the Dunkin' Donuts and stuff like that, all staged.
Yeah, it makes sense. There's no way he's just out there looking like that with Dunkin' Donuts, because, like... It just looks very staged to me, but I love it.
That and his relationship
with who?
His reuniting with J-Lo.
Oh,
also staged.
Yeah, I can see that.
For her benefit, mainly. But anyways, don't forget to follow us on Twitter! At GeekScreenPod!
And @local_twink. You know, in a world where everything's out to get you, the best thing you could do to protect yourself is give us a follow. And listen to our podcast every week or whenever we put it out.
Yeah. When we feel like it.
Yeah.
You know?
Because we're struggling. We're going through it, okay?
It was the holidays, first of all. Everybody had COVID. Not us.
True.
But everybody had COVID. Luckily. So, like, we couldn't do... I mean, we could. But, like, that was, like, 3 weeks of the Christmas time, you know? Mm-hmm. And then, like, we have to deal with the new year. And then, listen.
Why are y'all setting off fireworks at 2 a.m.? I hate y'all.
Me too. Anyways, get a therapist. Also, follow me at Misty_Rain.
Follow me at @local_Twink.
Okay.
Bye. We'll see if I get a rebrand once I'm hot.
You are hot.
Aw, thanks. But I mean once I'm fit.
You are fit.
That's a lie. I'm literally a twig with no body fat, so it looks like I have muscles.
Come on, muscles.
Come on, grass type.
Come on, Nuzleaf.
Literally. Okay. Nuzleaf has wider hips than me.
I want Nuzleaf's hips. Not like that.